Welcome to the Sunday morning service at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia, where Pastor Lauren Regeer opens God's Word each week to provide us with biblically based teaching that helps you meet life head on. Thank you for joining us, and may your hearts be blessed as God's Word is taught. And now, here is Pastor Lauren Regeer.
Amen. Thank you. Hasn't the music been great today? Appreciate it so much. Appreciate you traveling this far and blessing us, ministering to our hearts. It was just right. Thank you for bringing those selections. Thank you for our defenders of freedom that have visited with us today. We're grateful and honored by your presence here. Thank you, men, for the job that you do. And we appreciate so much your service to our community locally and what you do for the cause of freedom in this area. Take your Bibles, please. In a few minutes, we're going to just talk about why we ought to support those who stand and enforce the laws around us. And we, of course, wanted to make this day a special tribute to those of you who do this as your life's vocation. We are grateful for you and wanted to emphasize this on one Sunday at least of the year. We ought to pray for you year-round, of course, but we want to dedicate this day in a special way. As of July 2020, which was just 3 months ago or so, there has been a 28% surge in the amount of policemen that have been taken. In fact, there's been a violent aggression against the police this particular year. You are, of course, unless you've been living under a rock somewhere, you know that it's been a tough year for law enforcement. In fact, deaths compared to the previous year, there has been an amazing surge. 65 officers have been, peace officers have been killed in the line of duty by the middle of July this year. And at any time there is unrest, I believe, anytime there's unrest in society, the police are the first, really the first arm of government to take the brunt of it. They become the scapegoats, in a sense, for any anti-government, anti-police sentiment. 2018, Georgia topped the list with the worst record of felonious police deaths. I don't know why it is, but states in the South and the Southeast tend to have the worst records in terms of violence against police. Not sure why that is, but we need to pray for all these who defend our freedoms, defend our just enforce the laws. We need to pray for them, as Craig mentioned, in terms of decisions that they have to make in protecting themselves and the community, especially when facing criminals who may be angry, may be high on drugs, may be drunk, may be armed, in some cases all four of those things. And they have to deal with this on a regular basis. And in the media, of course, these split-second decisions often are discussed at great length and scrutinized and criticized. But these men have to make these kinds of life and death decisions in the blinking of an eye, an instant, as Craig mentioned. And we need to be aware of this tremendous pressure to make these decisions wisely in moments of confrontation. It demands great courage, skill, training, and I appreciate so much that these men that we have, because they are awake all day, we can rest at night, can't we, because they're on the job. It does seem like, especially this year, because of the rogue actions of a few cops, and in every industry there's bad and good, right? But I want to remind you, you don't throw out an airline because of a bad stewardess. We ought not throw out and defund the police because we have a minority of policemen that don't always act correctly. Amen? We're thankful for what they provide to us, regardless of the exceptions. Most of these men and women are exceptional servants of the Lord, take their job of the society and of the Lord, and we're thankful for what they do. And it's sad in my mind that really society, some parts of society, have declared open season on our police men and women. So we're thankful for the officers in blue. They've dedicated themselves to a great work, and we need just to remember them. And as the service closes today here in a few minutes, we're going to have them recognized with a gift and a special word of prayer before we head off to lunch. All are invited to that, by the way. Hope you can stay. All we're asking, because of just the food service, that you if you can remember to wear a mask as you're serving yourself. Don't try to wear a mask as you're eating later, but we're thankful for in deference, just watching over each other as we go through the food line. Well, it has been a year of terrible disrespect for our policemen. In fact, I am told recruitment is down, morale at an all-time low, at least at the beginning of the year. I wanted to remind you of a story of a lady, a true story, Lorraine Yazlowicz, whose husband was slain in 2011. She told ABC her story, and I wanted to share it with you. She says this, "Jeff, my husband and I began our marriage as we hoped for. I became a teacher in 1996 and was very satisfied with my career choice. I became more and more confident and competent as a teacher. Jeff, however, took a little longer to decide on what he would do. It wasn't until 1998 that he truly felt called to law enforcement. In fact, he began his career there, and he continually felt a strong desire to be on the K-9 unit. In October of 2008, he attained his dream and became K-2 for the St. Petersburg Police Department. We had three beautiful children, a beautiful home, an incredibly strong respect and love for one another. I felt like we had it all." In fact, she said, "I remember a conversation we had one beautiful day sitting out by our pool at the house. I had stated how blessed we were. And as much as he agreed with me, he kept saying, 'Heaven, honey, is still better than this.' I agreed, but my reply was, 'I know we'll be in heaven one day, but I hope we're able to live out this life with great-grandchildren.' He replied back again, 'But I don't think you get it. Heaven is still better than all of this.' I just knew in my heart that one day our Heavenly Father was going to test us, because the equation is quite simple. Strong faith, lots of blessing equals greater opportunity, responsibility. Well, on January 24th, the Lord did test us. January 24, 2011, 7:29 a.m., the Lord took my husband Jeff home during a shootout while assisting a search warrant for a wanted felon. Jeff and his partner were gunned down as they opened the attic where a suspect was hiding. The Lord knew. The plan to take Jeff home earlier than I or anyone else expected was known before I drew my first breath in life. God planned it all. Now I have the honor and responsibility to tell others of the indescribable peace and true joy that you can only have through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, even in the midst of human tragedy and sorrow. God is still good." During the first year after he was murdered, God used countless ways to show me how he and Jeff are taking good care of our family. Would I take it all back that day in 2011? Of course. My human side says, obviously, yes. But I know beyond the shadow of any doubt that my eternity is secure, and one day I will see him again. And then she went on to report, "What is most difficult," I want you to hear me well here, "what is most difficult during these troubling times of 2020 is the incredible anger and hostile way that some students have treated our own kids. Without thinking, they have said, 'I just wish all policemen were dead.' And I know they're just saying things they hear from others in the school or rioters in the streets, but I want you to know how much these words hurt. And she says, "I know the incredible chaos that would occur if law and order were no longer enforced. Our family has paid a high price for fighting crime, and I will give my life to appreciating what our brave policemen do every day to keep our citizens safe." Again, at the end of our service, you'll have another opportunity to thank them. In fact, we even have, if they're able to stay for the meal, have a booth where you could take a picture with these brave heroes of ours. We ought to show our support, amen, for what they do for us, for brave men and women, not only these who are here, but all those that perhaps on the beat today, or those that have given their lives in this pursuit of our freedom. Well, here it is, Romans chapter 13. Does the Bible have anything to say in the next few minutes together? Let me share some reasons we ought to support what God has given to us in terms of law enforcement, peace officers, as we like to call them. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 1, let every soul, no one is accepted here, to be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You could say from the executive branch, office of president, all the way down to the meter maid. God has ordained these offices. He is the one whose idea was to put them and give them authority to do what they do. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or a judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, generally speaking, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister, listen carefully to these words, he is the police officer, those in authority over us, at all tiers of government, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister, again a word repeated, of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Therefore, or wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath's sake, but for the sake of conscience. So why are we to support these men and women who take care of us? Because law enforcement is really a realm of authority delegated by God. In Paul's day, I would remind you that it was Roman soldiers that were the police officers in the culture in which the disciples grew up, were actually ministered and served. And these were the folks that Paul had in mind when he's talking here, perhaps about those in authority. The peace officers of the day were hated by the people. You think they're disliked here in certain stratas of society. In those days, they were mainly hated by all those countries that they occupied. They represented the Empire of Rome and had complete authority to order the citizens of Israel around as they deemed fit, to do whatever they wished them to do. They had sovereign immunity, especially in the treatment of non-Romans. We know that God does never approve of brutality. Certainly there are always a few, I mentioned that earlier, bad cops. And certainly there's been a small number of examples of this abuse of power. But all authority is derived by God and from God. It's God-given. In fact, when Jesus, the Son of God, was on trial before Pilate, and Pilate says, don't you know that I have the authority to either take your life or preserve it? And he said what? John 19, 11, he said, you would have no power at all except that God gives it to you. What a statement from a prisoner to be executed. Paul wanted the believers in Rome and those believers in Israel, and by extension us today, to see that those who uphold the law are tools in the hand of God, instruments ordained by God with a God-given role and responsibility, are called by God, divinely appointed, though they may in some cases be overbearing or in our minds cruel. And this again is a rare minority. They are to be seen as divinely placed for our protection. In the passage before us, Paul includes all the powers that be. All of them, from the president to the city clerk, from Ronald Reagan, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump, and if ever confirmed, Joe Biden. These men are seated by God, and we must understand that, whether they're our favorites or not. They have been placed by the hand of God who rules and overrules. So we're to support them, because God is behind their appointment, regardless of political platforms or process, or whether you're part of a democracy or whatever it may be, communism, oligarchy, monarchy, imperialism, federalism, whatever the system was in place throughout history, God is saying, I place these men, these tiers of authority over you. So whether they're judges or soldiers, state representatives, congressmen and women, senators, mayors, governors, should I say it, IRS agents, meter maids, policemen and women, God has assigned them to their roles to protect citizens and to promote peace. They are established by God. So we are to support them because of their authority delegated. Secondly, we are to support them because a resistance to authority brings a reprisal. Look at the verse with me, please. Verse 2, whoever therefore resisteth the power, easy for you to say, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves a reprisal, reprove, judgment. If you resist the powers placed over you by God, you receive a damnation. The idea, verse 2, is not only does rebellion incur the wrath of public officials, it also incites the very wrath of God who's placed them there. How do you treat your policeman? How do you treat the sheriff's office? How do you treat the traffic crossing guard there on your that school that's between you and your workplace? How do you treat these folks? Don't resist them. Don't violate. Don't badmouth. Resist here really means to literally take a stand against. Whoever takes a stand against the power. Yes, in this country, and it's a rare country in the world, we can peacefully protest, lawfully protest, but we are never to dishonor them. Curse them. Make fun of them, belittle them. And I want to be very clear, there is a time when God's people must stand against the realm of man's authority. When is that? Right, when God's laws are negated and the Christian is asked to specifically deny his God, violate Scripture, the dictates of his biblically informed conscience. The Sanhedrin asked the early church no longer to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And what did Peter say? Acts chapter 4. Sorry. We'll support you, we'll pay our taxes, we'll obey the ordinances, local, governmental, but whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We must preach the essential message of the gospel, even if the government says no. We're going to shut you down. We're going to take you into court. Paul would often say, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He paid a price for preaching the gospel regardless of what the government said, but we are to obey when all possible the ordinances about us. We are not to resist them. The powers that be are ordained of God. Resistance brings a stern reprisal. So unless the law, here, let me just be clear, okay? Unless the law is immoral, unethical, ungodly, or violates Scripture, we are to respect and do it. Or suffer consequence. Now, just a word, if I could meddle a bit about local policy, if I may. Does it always make sense? Hey, listen, I went to Pensacola. I there's some rules I still don't know. You know, I'm still worried about them. By the way, they do not have pink and blue elevators. That, I just want to solve that mystery. I don't think, unless they've been added. But what's the issue here in verses 1 and 2? It's not about really what you prefer. The issue in verses 1 and 2 is about God's ordination of power. It's about God's hand of approval and his designation for all those that rule over us, not just the ones that we tend to agree with. The issue is not about the intelligence of the policy. It's not about the integrity of the official. It is about the institution God placed. I don't like that teacher. So what? I don't like that rule. So what? I don't like that policeman's attitude. So what? I don't care for my drill sergeant. Some of you military guys are smiling. So what? Do you want to receive judgment? Keep resisting authority. My wife, if I could tell on her, she slipped out, so let's tell the story now. My wife had an encounter this past week with an extremely rude and out of control police woman, really not put there by the government, but put there by Target. She went to visit Target. So this woman was a bit self-appointed, but she did have a job to keep people 6 feet apart and to make sure their masks were above their noses at all times. She took her job very seriously, almost too seriously, we might say, and she was barking at people, biting people all over the place, and she was, in a word, very rude. And so my wife was offended at her attitude, and she came home, stewed up a little bit about that, and I would almost say that my wife came home with a resistant spirit to the mask police and almost wanted to do one of those Barney Fife, citizens arrest, citizens arrest. But what is it, according to Romans chapter 13, verse 2, that was the right response for her? To resist? To inform this lady, like some of us would like to do, that in some countries it's a 3-foot rule, not 6. And that masks are not effectual totally in stopping the viral contagion of COVID. Should my wife have yelled out, "It's stupid! It's all stupid!" Or should she have lived by faith? The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? The just shall live by the Bible. And Romans 13:2 is in the Bible. And this lady represented a tier of authority, albeit part of a store. So what we have to do is understand that I must live within the jurisdiction, the policies of that jurisdiction, unless those laws conflict God's laws. I must put myself under with a happy spirit. Dr. Horton used to say when we were repping years ago, everything was in black and white in those days, but years ago, we had a number of representatives would go out, at just as these young men and young lady are doing, representing the college. And one of the questions, what are we supposed to do with, hands would raise up in different high schools, Christian high schools, you have too many rules. And so we asked Dr. Horton, the president of the college at that time, what in the world, what are we supposed to say to that? He would just smile. He wasn't big on long explanations. He would simply say, just tell them, if you love God, you won't have trouble with rules. So we'd get all over the place. What about this rule? What about that rule? And our standard answer was, if you love God, you won't struggle with rules. You will place yourself under, you will live by faith. Oh. Some of you shivering right now. Because you can think of some things, can't you? So whether I live in that school or shop at that store or whatever it is, live in that country, if all possible with respect as unto the Lord, I must live within the guidelines of those policies. I'm not a doormat. Doesn't mean I'm a lemming jumping over a cliff. I can, when necessary, appeal. I can even boycott, peacefully protest. I can appeal to senators, judges. I can even be part of the process. I can vote. And if necessary, I can even involve myself by becoming someone who is a law writer and get in the process and the system. But we must respect, obey, honor those who have authority over us. And these four realms of government, four realms of authority, government, church, family, and of course, our jobs. Don't fight God. He placed them there. Number three, quickly moving on, support your local authorities because God called them ministers of the good, a terror to the evil. Do they always get it right? No, neither do you. But that is generally the principle by which God has designed them, to to stand against the evil and wickedness in society. I'll never forget a story told by a pastor who got pulled over for going 5 miles, in his words, 5 miles over the speed limit, 5 miles an hour. He wanted to complain and argue with the policeman. But then he remembered, as he was looking at this man who was writing the ticket, he remembered Romans chapter 13, 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, for he's a minister of God to thee for good. He remembered the verse and he said, thank you, officer, reverend officer. You're a minister to me. The Bible calls you that for my own good. So I want to thank you today for doing your job and serving the country so well. I was speeding, and you stopped me, and I thank you. Well, the officer in 20 years on the beat had never heard anything like that. And so he took the ticket. He said, sir, give me that ticket back. No one in 20 years on the force has ever thanked me for writing a ticket. I'm going to let you go this time. But, sir, watch your speed. Now, that might not happen to you, so don't use that as a... But certainly, there's a wonderful truth. Thank you, sir. There's a wonderful truth. Don't water down the preacher. He may go for a little while longer, but thank you, Barry, for thinking of me. But we are to remember that they are ministers to us for good. And certainly, the police ought to be seen that way, put there by God. Often, they are brutalized. Often they are made fun of. But I just want to give you a little sense of context here. Can I do that? Because these words in chapter 13, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, comes at a different day and time in which we live. We think we have it bad now. But I want to remind you something. Who was in charge? The Romans were. Citizens had no recourse against brutality, none. Citizens caught stealing would simply lose a hand or their life. Often, especially those in the occupied territories, were rounded up and used for target practice like animals. A soldier had every right to stop you, to cause you to carry his military pack. I understand officers' military gear weighs about 40 or 50 pounds. In those days, the soldiers had shields and swords, and they were often tired of carrying them, so they could just accost a regular citizen of the street and have him walk for a mile with them. Leadership was corrupt to the core. Nero, the emperor, would eventually marry a slave of his. He would disguise himself at night and cruise through the streets, visiting brothels, taverns, physically attacking citizens, involving himself in homosexual relationships. He ended up killing his own mother. For 10 years, Rome, before this letter to the Romans was written, was a sewer of moral degradation. This was the desperate corruption and culture at the highest level of government. Christians were accused of burning Rome, if you remember your history, and they were used as as just objects of ridicule. Some were expelled, persecuted, skinned alive, covered in tar, impaled, and used as torches for dinner parties in Rome. And we can't get over a mask policy. Just threw that out there. And I don't know what's coming in the next administration. I don't know. But be careful what hill you die on. And in this culture, Paul writes these words, let every soul be subject to these higher powers. For he is a minister of God. So you support him because he has been placed by God for your good and the suppression of evil. They are to terrorize the evil. Fourthly and quickly, we are to subject ourselves to local authority because of our conscience' sake. It's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. The Bible says it clearly in verse 5. For wherefore ye must needs be subject. Support, place yourself under, not only for wrath's sake, not only for fear of the fact that you may be in some ways stopped, accosted, maybe even put in jail because of your disobedience, but also for conscience sake. Every one of us was born with a conscience. That's a moral skylight that God gives not only those who are saved, that is those who've come to faith in Jesus Christ and trust his finished work and receive that by faith. Those receive the Spirit of God living within them. But every one of us, when we're born, have this moral compass. I grew up along the banks of the Amazon River. Tribes that have never had a police force. Police themselves. They have their own unwritten rules of right and wrong without policemen there to enforce it. Why? God has placed in every man, every woman, every boy or girl, a sense of right and wrong. And when you do wrong, although the conscience could be misinformed, it can be hardened, it can even be almost in a place where it is adversarial to God, but there is this whisper of the heart, no matter whether you've been in church or not, that tells you that's right and that's wrong. And this, the Bible says it is right. Your conscience tells you it is right to support authority. It's the right thing to do. In fact, when we do things that are wrong, there's a growing burden in our hearts. I remember as a kid, I was a weird, I still am a little bit on that weird side, but there was a moment where I had done something. I may have told you this as a boy growing up, and I told my, I don't know what it is, to this day I can't remember, but I told my father, I finally got so burdened by what I had done, thought, or said. I don't know what it was, but I got so burdened by it. I came to my father, and I said, "Daddy, will you spank me?" I said that to my dad. And my dad was a disciplinarian big time. And he looked at me and said, "Son, that's the most unusual request I've ever had. Why would you want me to spank you just out of the blue?" And I said, "Dad, I can't tell you, but I just need a spanking." It must have been bad in my little brain. But Dad said, "I'll be glad to help out with this." In fact, he said, "I'd like to give you two spankings. One for whatever it is you did, and two for deceit." Whatever you did, and then trying to hide whatever you did. And boy, he hauled me out to the woodshed that time. And he says, "I don't know what I'm spanking you for, but it gives me great pleasure to straighten out your guilty conscience." And there is something about clearing the conscience. But here we are told, because of our conscience, and when we get Christ living in us, there ought to be a Spirit-directed conscience. We ought to doubly support those who are in authority over us. We do have this moral compass within us, but it has been informed by Scripture, and we are to live it out in a gracious way. And we are to do that because why? We are to do it in order that this wonderful truth that is so vital, that here's the message of Scripture, the message of God, the gospel, and we ought to live a life that's free of this guiltiness from disregarding our authority. Listen, Dad, if you live without ever putting on your seatbelt, if you call the laws stupid, if you criticize your local officials, if you cheat on your taxes, if you run stoplights, and if you're always badgering the opinion of authorities around you that are ordained by God, don't be surprised if your kids do as well. Don't be surprised, but what you allow in moderation, your kids will allow in excess. They are the authority. You need to respect them. All of us do. Finally, the Bible commands us to pray for our policemen. Let's move from this text and finish with 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is a familiar portion of Scripture, but just before we have our men stand and we recognize them, I want you to be reminded of this. I exhort, therefore, 2 Timothy 2, 1, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead here's the truth of it, here's the really, the point of this, support and submission. Pray for them, support them, submit to them, love them. Even in spite of the shenanigans perhaps that you hear about, or the inconsistencies perhaps, or the disappointments you've seen in some of them, but you're to pray for them, for it's good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. And here's the kicker. Here's what we're driving at this morning. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's one God, one mediator between Christ, between God and man, the man Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's my ordination. Paul is saying this. Let's pray for these men. Let's pray for our authority at every strata and every tier. Why? Why? Let's support them. Let's give them deference. Why? In order that there may be a clear path for the gospel. In order that that we might enjoy freedoms to preach and teach the essential message that saves. That's why we do what we do. And that's why we care about freedoms. And that's why we support our authority. And that's why we put ourselves under, in order that the gospel may be propelled and advanced in our culture. Think of how hard it would be to preach the same message that Jesus saves from behind bars, or as we've seen in the Ukraine, standing in the snow in the forest somewhere. It is possible to do that. But let me tell you something. It is much easier yet in America to take this message to the streets when there is this freedom. So pray for them. They are our ministers for good. Amen? We ought to do that. Well, let's just look at that verse as we close up again. Here it is, the verse that we... I exhort, therefore. And why don't we just, shall we stand and just quote this verse, read this verse together? And just read along with me. Shall we do that? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You may be seated. I've asked Andrew to come and just recognize these men. Close us in a word of prayer and thank the Lord for the food that we are about to receive. Brother Andrew, thank you for this idea. It was a great one. Appreciate your backing this and promoting this. Andrew's been a big blessing in all this.
Thank you for joining us today. Please tune in each week for new messages from Pastor Lauren Regeer at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you.